How many of you, whenever the preacher says, close your eyes and bow your heads, how many of you do that? How many of you do that? Now, how many of you are like a Siamese cat and you do this? How many of you do that? How many of you have been known to do that? I got two honest people. Do me a favor right now. Don't look like a Siamese cat. Bow your heads just for a minute. I want to know something this morning. Choir, don't look at the congregation. Congregation, don't look toward the choir. Just put your head in your Bible. Put it in your lap. How many of you today, if I were to ask you with the full assurity and certainty that if the Lord called you home right now, you're going to go to heaven? How many of you know that? Slip your hands up. I thank God for those hands. And by that being said, bless God, if He does call your number and we don't get out of this service, then you're going to be okay. You're the ones that I'm preaching today. Surely somewhere along the line you'll have to say, thank you, Lord. Or you'll say, amen, preacher. You'll say something to that effect. But even as those multitude of the hands went up, is there one or maybe more than one? I promise you, there's nobody looking around. I don't have any Siamese cats right now. If you would, slip your hand right up and right back down and let me just pray for you. I promise you this. I won't come back. I promise you that I will not, but I do want to pray for you. And I want you to realize the very certainty of this judgment that I'm about to preach about. Is there anybody like that would be so honest with themselves to say, preacher, I'm not saved. I know that I'm not saved. Would there be anybody so honest that would just slip their hand right up? Is there anybody here now that's just not sure? They don't know. Maybe they're just... they've gone through life with a hope, but they just don't know. You just don't know about that day. Is there anybody like that? You guys can look up. By your telling me, by your raising of hands, if the Lord come back and raptured His church home right now, and I know some of you don't like the word rapture, but that's okay. I'm using it. It's a calling away. You say, well, it's not in your King James Bible. Neither is the word prodigal son. But if I tell you a story of the prodigal son, you know what I'm talking about. By your own admission this morning that if the Lord raptured His church or called His church away, this place would be empty. There would be nobody here. There would not be one person sitting on a pew. It would be empty. The cars would still dot the parking lot, and the people that would come by, the lost that would go up and down, would say, wonder why all the cars are there at 3 o'clock. Did they just not dismiss? 6 o'clock tonight. Well, maybe they're back in service at midnight. Boy, did their service go long. The lights are still on. Maybe somebody would then pull in the parking lot and say, we've not seen anybody leave that place in a while. And that they would stick their head in the door. And Brother Tim, there's nobody here. Why? Because the rapture came and we're all gone. But 262 people, I think, by the counters today. Somebody here needs Jesus. He's not going to send this message this morning. You say, well, you're not going to preach that message, are you? Everybody here say, I'm going to preach it. Because God sent it. And the Bible said, let every man be a what? A liar. But God's word's true. I want to get into this morning because people will mock and people will scoff. We're seeing all kinds of protests around about Washington and major metropolitan areas and cities. They're just protesting. They don't like what's going on Capitol Hill. They don't like the moral right. They don't like some of these things that they're seeing. And because of that, there's just been a civil disobedience and a civil uprising and a disturbance. I'm not preaching politics. I'm just telling you the truth. Turn on your news channel and you'll see them protesting in the street. They're carrying signs and screaming obscenities and spitting and just they're vile and they're vitriolic in their ways. And it's terrible. But I can imagine that there was an old man by the name of Noah, a prophet of God, that the Lord found favor in. And the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a preacher of righteousness according to the new Bible. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 120 years. He preached to the saving of 8 souls. He preached. But I can imagine the head waggers. And I can imagine those that would accuse him. I can imagine those that mocked him and called him names, preacher. What are you doing, you senile old man? What are you doing? You're out here morning to night preaching and telling us about the righteousness of God and how that we ought to get on this this plan of a boat that you're building, this ark that you're building, and that we need to chip in and we need to help, and that we're going to be driving pegs and we're going to be gathering animals for the saving of humanity, and mankind can be saved, but all we've got to do is get onside that ark. There's no doubt in my mind that, brother, they thought he was foolish. Yes. Why are you taking that wood that gophers would eat, even gopher wood? Why are you taking that and building this huge ark? Why are you doing that? This could be building people's houses. Are we not hearing that? That this could have been done and that could have been done. We're hearing that. No doubt in my mind, they said, why are you taking that and casting that onto an ark whenever that could be used for good? But I'd say the value of that wood went up tremendously whenever the door was shut and the old man was safely inside with his family. I would say the value of that wood went up tremendously. Why? Because all those that would mock and all those that would scoff and all those that would ridicule the old man, the old prophet of God, the old prophet of God, who did you think he is? I bet you money. I don't bet, but I guarantee with full assuredness, Brother Larry, that ark and the wood that built that thing and the people that were on that thing, I guarantee you their worth went up. And right now, people are ridiculing my Savior. They're mocking us that speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And Brother Tim, they're all about that which is abhorrent. They're all about that which is base and low and sinful. They're all about that. And they think that we're the nut job. They think we're the crazy ones, Brother Larry. But I'll tell you this, the value of Jesus Christ is going to go up one day. Why? Because the side door of that ark is going to close. And whenever the side door of that ark, Brother Greg, closed, you know what happened? The springs beneath began to release and the skies above began to open up. And Brother Tim, judgment was poured out on all of humanity. And Brother Joe, nobody got out of this world alive except that they that were in the ark of safety. And bless God, judgment's coming again, my friends. And the only ones, Miss Wanda, that are going to get out of this thing are those, Brother John, that are within the ark of safety. And bless God, judgment's going to be poured out and it's going to rain fire and brimstone. Oh, not by water next time. It's coming down by fire and it will burn with a fervent heat, preacher. But all those people that perish outside of that ark of grace, they're going to be standing here at this place that I'm reading about this morning. They're going to stand before God, the small and the great, be it priests or governors, be it those that would be, I'm talking about having prominence in life. They've got money in the bank. They've got titles and degrees and names for themselves. But it does not matter who they are. If they're outside of that ark of safety, or if they're outside the ark of God's grace, Brother Judgment, Brother Joe, judgment's going to be on them. And it'll be righteous judgment, my friends. It'll be righteous judgment. So when we get into this morning, I want you to think about that. Oh, they mocked Noah. They mocked all the others of God. They'll mock me. They'll mock you. They'll mock us collectively for what we stand on. But I want you to be assured, God's got this thing, my friends, and he's going to take care of things. So I want to look first and say, well, preacher, what is it about this judgment seat? What is it about this judgment throne? What is it about this Supreme Court that you're talking about? This Supreme Court has a purpose, the same way as the one of the land does. The one of the land makes sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. And whenever they do that, if they come, Brother Greg, you can go through the appellate courts. You can make your way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And then you'll have a judicial preference of 9 people that'll weigh one way or the other, Brother Paul. And they're going to say, well, 5-4, you're this, or 5-4, you're that. But let me tell you, there ain't going to be 9 deciding. There ain't going to be but one. And bless God, that one decision that'll be made, it'll be made in your favor or against you, based upon one principle, based upon one piece of evidence. It won't be how many cookies you sold. It won't be what you've done. Brother Tam, he's looking for some blood spatter. He's looking for some blood taint. He's looking for some blood, Brother Larry. And whenever he sees that blood evidence, bless God, Brother Troy, guess what? You're going to be all right. And you get to be ushered in. But bless God, that's all he's looking for, is the evidence of the blood. But the purpose of that court is to take those which have been saved at the judgment seat of Christ and those which are still yet lost. And that purpose is then to sort it out. Does he not tell about a sortation of the sheep and the goats? Does he not talk about a sortation of the wheat and the tares? Bless God, he's going to do it with the saved and the lost the same way. Brother John, we're going to end up one day standing before him. I'd rather you stand before him as a saved man. And that's what the purpose of the court was, is to be judged, is to judge everyone. If you were to look back into that, the Bible said that I saw the dead and the small and the great stand before God, and the books were opened in another book, which is the book of life. My friends, has your name been recorded in that Lamb's book of life? He said, I don't rejoice because you got the power to tread over serpents. Don't rejoice in that, but rejoice rather, what? Because your names are written. Bless God, I'm glad my name's written, Brother Tim. My name is in that book of life. I wouldn't be one sneaking around here. Let's just say that Brother Greg holds the book of life. Let's say that that great big book of life was unfolded there. Are you the one that when the lights go out, are you the one at the end of the day that's going to have to slip back in and you'll run over here and Brother Larry, you'll make sure that nobody's looking. Make sure my wife's not looking. Make sure my children are not looking. Are you going to be the one that makes sure nobody's looking just to have to take a peek to make sure that your name's in there? I'm going to flip over here to the H's. I got to make sure that mine's in there. Bless God, Brother Greg, I don't have to go look because I know it's there. I was there when I got saved. I was there when he pinned it down. And if he pinned it down, he's never going to take it out again. Amen. My name's in that book. Amen. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Are you going to have to sneak around and find out if yours is in there? The purpose of that court, the purpose of it all, is to mete out judgment. The Bible says, we'll get into so, there's so much I wanted to get into. Y'all are not even going to be able to keep up with me if I start spitting out all these different scriptures, but the Bible says we're going to give account for the deeds done in our body, be they good or be they bad. But the purpose is for us to be judged. You say, well, where is this place? It's not down here on earth. It's not in Washington, D.C. There can't be a court that high on this land. This is a sin cursed. It's sin scorched. It's a sinful land in which we live. There can be no high court that high on here. But our high court is in heaven, Brother Tam. And that high court in heaven, my friends, is where every one of us is going to stay. There's a place. Miss Cindy and the girls used to sing a song. There is a place. And some call it heaven, but I call it home. That heavenly place is where that judgment bar is at. That's where the judgment seat is at. The judgment seat of Christ. The mercy seat is at. And that's where that great white throne's at, Brother Larry. I said he ain't wearing black sitting on a bench. Bless God, he's wearing right sitting on a throne. That is where we're going to stand one day, Brother Tam. So the purpose is that we each one stand before him to receive the deeds done in our body, be they good, be they bad, the righteous, the saved, and then the lost at the great white throne judgment. But my friends, it's going to be a day, and it's in that place where, bless God, there's going to come a time you're going to be there. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are. Hey, go back here behind the cemetery, and if you go back there, Miss Joe, little Bradley Bell down there, what, 2 weeks old whenever he passed? About 2 weeks, wasn't it? He got a little bitty old block down there. It looks like a children's play block. It's like a little ABC block of the children. It's down there from there, and then you probably walk around back there and you're going to find some, probably even up close to 100 or more. But I don't care if it's one day or 100 years. This time on this earth is but short, and we're leaving here. And then the Bible says after this, the judgment. So we look into the scriptures. I want to go over to 1 Timothy just a minute. I try not to wear your Bibles out too much, but I do want you to see something. They mocked our Savior. They mocked you. They'll mock me. Our Lord was paraded before Pilate. He was took over to see Felix. He was took down to see Herod. He's taken over here. He's taken over there. The Bible says here in the book, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. When in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. My friend, I want you to know something. The one that can judge you because he's never been where you're at. You say, wait a minute, you never walked where I did? Yeah, he's walked where you did, but he didn't sin like you did. The measure of sin is given this. If you commit sin, you look at somebody that does the same thing, it's not such a dim light. Why? Because you did the same thing or worse. But brother, it'll be righteous judgment because he didn't do any of that. Right. It's righteous judgment because, Brother Paul, he didn't commit the sin that you and I do. And that's why he can judge. And his judgment will be right. And it'll be just and it'll be holy. And like I said here, you're not going to cry your way in. Brother Larry, you're not going to be able to tell what kind of manners of good deeds you did. I don't care how many prison revivals you've done. I don't care how many prison trips you made or how many miles you drove up and down the road. But it's God, if you ain't saved by God's grace, you'll stand there before him at that great white throne judgment in that heavenly place, for the same purpose that the rest of us will, to hear those sad, sad words, "I don't know you." That wouldn't that be awful to do all those great things that you've done in your life only to have to be cast out? My goodness, folks. Please listen with your heart today. You say, well, who's going to be there? Every single one of us. We're all participants in these judgments, be it the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. I'm taking my notes and just taking them in here and tucking them in the back because they're going to keep on messing me up. Brother Chris or Brother Jody, one of you tried to, was it you, Varun? Somebody tried to take my notes away because I'm going to throw them things away because they'll mess you up. Who was that a while ago? Who? Oh, my little brother said, throwing things away. Amen. Let's just throw them away. I'm going back over here just a minute because I want you to see some things as I look into this. The Bible said that the sea, the North Atlantic, holds something that we call the Titanic. Do you remember the story of the preacher, Brother Chris, that took his Bible and placed it in a man's hand as he was about to go under? That preacher was a saved man. That preacher, what was his name, Brother Chris? I know you've read the story recently because we talked about it not long ago. Who was that, Brother Larry? Done forgot it? Old Preacher John. Old Preacher John took his Bible, Brother Tam. People are perishing, going under in the icy cold waters of the Northern Atlantic. And that preacher took his Bible and placed it in the hand. But he also placed the life jacket, the only last life jacket, the very, very last life jacket that was available. And he gave it to a man that was dying and drowning. And it was because that man, Brother Greg, was lost. That man was lost. So what does he need worse, the life jacket or the Bible? I suggest to you he needed the Bible. But if he's going under, he's going to need the life jacket if he don't know Jesus Christ. And that old preacher put, this is a true story, that old preacher put that Bible and put that life jacket in that old man's hand, and that become the last convert off of the Titanic. Because that man was plucked from those icy waters, and he went on to become a preacher himself. And he told that story countless of times around the early 1900s about that he was the last survivor that got out of those icy waters. You said, what'd you tell that story for? Because the Bible said that in verse number 15, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now, Brother Charles, if that old man had not received that life jacket, and more importantly, had not received the word of God, and he had gone down with the rest of them that perished in those Northern Atlantic icy waters, Brother Chris, the sea would have to give up that man. And where would he be? He would stand at the great white throne judgment. I'm telling you, Brother Ryan, this is real. It's as real, Brother Tam, as I'm standing here before you today. It's real. The Bible said that death and hell, a lot of people think that whenever you die, you go straight to a devil's hell. Listen, there's no advantage to dying 100 years ago and dying now. When we close our eyes, we're before the Lord. The Bible said to be present, be absent of this body, to be present with the Lord. But the sea, the death, and hell are all going to give up the dead which are in them, and they're all going to stand before God. Every one of us is going to stand before him. Tim, where are you standing? Where are we standing? Where are you going to stand? Brother Dane, where are you going to stand? You going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, or you going to stand at the great white throne judgment? Brother John, I know which one I'm standing at. And I want to ask us that personal question this morning. Which one are you standing at? Miss Macy, come. God said quit. We're quitting. Brother Scott, come get us a song of invitation.